Thirdly, there is a biblical pattern. The biblical pattern in the scriptures is salvation, water baptism, and spirit baptism. Now, that rule can be broken and was once in the scriptures, but the pattern is generally salvation, water baptism, spirit baptism. I've known a lot of people who have become believers who did not go on to get water baptized, and almost without exception, they struggled to be free of their old sins and often backslid. I've also known many people who have become believers who got water baptized but did not go on to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, who are good Christians, but they struggle to trust God for things outside their own abilities and lack of power. They struggle with a lack of power. When you're saved, you become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is very clear. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new person. When you get water baptized, the old person is cut off, meaning the old man of sin is cut off from his power over you. Now, he may and often does raise his ugly head back up, but then after you've been water baptized, you can just drown him. You know, just hold him under until he stops kicking. You know, but after that, there should be the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that gives you the power to walk in this new life that you've been given. The pattern in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us in verse 11 that it's all the things that happened in the Old Testament and with the children of Israel were given as example to us upon whom the ends of the age have come. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:1 it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So in that little story, it is equating, it's symbolic of Moses and Christ. Moses represents Christ here. So think about the children of Israel. It says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were first saved by the blood in Egypt, right? The angel put the blood over the doorpost and they were saved. That likens to salvation. Then they went through the Red Sea, which likens to water baptism. When they went through, it cut off all their enemies, right? It came back on the Egyptians. Their old life was cut off. And then the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night led them and overwhelmed them. That represents the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a type. It's a pattern in the Old Testament. The Old Testament temple, I think we got a little graphic on that. It's got more detail than I wanted on there. But in the Old Testament temple, you had the outer court, and then you had the holy place, and then you had the most holy place. So what happened is on the altar of burnt offerings, that's where the lamb was sacrificed, the blood, which represents what? Salvation. And then you had the bronze laver, which was where the priest washed his hands before proceeding, which represents water baptism. And then when he went in to the holy place, there was the golden lampstand or anointing oil, the oil, and they would put oil on him. He had to have that oil on him. What does oil always represent in the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. That represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He could not go into the most holy place unless he had gone through this process. If he did, he'd die. He'd be killed. But he could go. A lot of us today, we want to go have the sacrifice and the water and zip around the holy place and into the most holy place. But we need all three in our life. In Acts 2:38, it said, Peter said to them, repent, salvation, right? Let every one of you be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Thirdly, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a pattern, isn't it? Acts 8, that Samaritan thing, verse 17, or verse 12, first it said, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, they believed, which means they were saved, right? And the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized in water. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, verse 4, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe in on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, that's salvation. When they heard this, they were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Salvation, baptism with water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word. The Word is another word for what? Jesus Christ. He's called the Word. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Spirit baptism, water baptism, salvation. These three agree as one. So that's the pattern. At the household of Cornelius, the rule was broken and they were saved and then filled with the Spirit and then water baptized. But a rule is broken because it's an exception to the rule. The general rule is salvation, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. But God can switch that around if he wants to, because he's God, right? He can do whatever he wants. Here's the last thing today. Lord, you all made me preach longer than I intended to. How does someone receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? It has nothing to do with how long you've been saved, or how little you sin or don't sin, or how much you understand it, or how much scripture you've memorized, or even if you really love Jesus. The number one requirement for a believer to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit is thirst. It's thirst. You could say desperation, awareness of need, great desire, however you want to put it. It's the I will not be denied or take no for an answer type of thirst. John 7, 37, we've been on this for a long time on Wednesday nights. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. In other words, Jesus offers the drink. You have to take the drink and drink. When you drink, then you open up the fire hydrant to come back out. Because the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't to make you feel good. The purpose is to minister to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus. So if you're satisfied with your level of spirituality, your level of spirit, you probably won't receive. I've had people come when we've given calls for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said to them, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? And they've said, yeah, that'd be okay. You'll never receive the Holy Spirit with that kind of non-passion, non-desire. I was listening to a sermon by John Osteen, not Joel Osteen, John Osteen, who was a great preacher. That's his daddy. And he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about this Baptist pastor from lived all the way on the other side of the country. They were in Houston. And he called him up and he said, are you that preacher that And he couldn't get the words out. Are you that preacher that... And finally he said, yes, I'm the preacher that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, let me just tell you so we won't waste each other's time. When you get it, you're going to speak in tongues, cast out devils, heal the sick, and click, the guy hung up on him. A few days later, he called back. And here's what he said. He said, I'm so thirsty. He said, I can't watch TV. I can't spend time in social situations. I just pray and seek God and read the Word for hours every day. I was supposed to go to one of my relatives' house the other day, and I got there and I was so distracted I couldn't stay. So I got in my car and I went and I drove out in the country, and I was just out there praying and talking to God and asking Him to show me. And all of a sudden I felt a hand on my head. He said, that really freaked me out because there was nobody there. He said, then I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, go to John Osteen and have him lay his hands on you. And when you do, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he told John, was telling John this on the phone. And he stopped him. He said, listen, I'm not important. You don't need me to lay hands. Just find somebody there who's spirit-filled around where you live. You don't have to go to all that expense to come here. You just find somebody else to do it. And he broke in on him. He said, you didn't hear the voice. And so this guy got on an airplane and flew to Houston. And they picked him up at the airport and they went to this house. There was a bunch of believers there praying and stuff, and they were praying, and this guy was on his knees, and John Osteen went over and laid his hands on him, and he stood up and began speaking in tongues, and for the next several hours, he wouldn't shut up. In fact, he did it so much that nobody could even talk to him, so John just took him and put him in the bed in the guest room and took his shoes off and left him. And he woke up the next day and started again. He got saturated. He got immersed in the Holy Spirit. And again, everybody's experience is different. But you drink in. Sometimes it can be very quiet and have not that much to it. But when you drink in, it then becomes a river that flows out of your innermost being. I was saying to somebody to Wednesday night that have you ever taken like water, two big drops of water, and kind of moved them close to each other. When they get so close, it's like all of a sudden they go and they suck together into one big drop. Kind of what happens, I'm just trying to describe it, is you've got the Holy Spirit if you're saved, and when you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like that water, the water calls to water, and they come together at some point. It's kind of like smoke over your head, and you breathe it in, and then you breathe it out. I'm just trying to paint you little pictures of the process. Last scripture, Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's simple. You're thirsty and you ask. Nowhere does it say, if God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. That contradicts the Bible, and it contradicts the very words of Jesus. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. So the question is, do you want it? Are you thirsty for it? And are you willing to ask for it? In a few minutes, we're going to water baptize some folks. And they will come down into the water, and we will feel the water all around us. It'll be warm and nice and peaceful. But they won't be baptized in that water until they go down into the water. They'll feel the water. I feel the water. But they won't actually be baptized until they go under the water and get immersed in it. And this is a voluntary thing. We're not throwing our arm around anybody's neck and forcing them into the water. They're asking for it. Amen? Hope you get the analogy. Don't settle for splashing around when you can be saturated when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There's two ways it was done in Scripture. One, just sovereignly, where the Holy Spirit just fell on somebody, like on the day of Pentecost in the household of Cornelius. I've known many people that were just in the congregation and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people in their bedroom got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is one way it can happen. The other way is the laying on of hands by another Spirit-filled vessel. Doesn't have to be a preacher. Just another Spirit-filled vessel, like happened in the Samaritans, happened in with the Ephesians. Hands being laid on. Well, I like that one where they don't lay the hands on me. You don't get to choose. What you get to choose is thirst, asking, and receiving. That's what you get to choose. You don't get to say, well, I want that, but I don't want that tongues thing. No, that isn't your choice. It is your choice whether you receive that or not, but you can't say, I'll receive it, but I don't want that stuff. Because we always think about weird stuff. And I believe the pattern in Scripture is when you receive it, it will flow back out of you in the form of tongues first. So, okay, worship team. We're going to sing. And I'm going to invite you. We're not going to draw this out. We are not going to do anything weird. This is not weird. People make it weird, but it's not weird. It's awesome. I'd like everybody to stand. And here's what I'm going to do. First of all, if you would close your eyes, I want to ask this question. If there's anybody in the room who does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you realize today that you're not saved, you're not born again, you have not repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, and you want to do that today, you want to give your life to Christ, just raise your hand nice and high where you are. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Just wherever you are, if you want to give your life to Jesus, just raise your hand nice and high. I'm not going to call you out or anything in front of everybody. I just want to see you. I want to pray for you. Anybody? Okay. Here's the second thing I'm going to do. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to just come up to this altar and stand here. And we're going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead and come. Not going to do anything weird. Not going to do anything bizarre. It's going to be glorious. Just like stand right across here where I can walk in front. Amen. Praise the Lord. Need some more. All right. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? All right. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I just want you to stand before God and just hold your hands like this in a receiving motion. You don't have to raise them in the air. You don't have to do anything weird. I'm going to ask, I need four Spirit-filled people to come up and stand behind these people and lay your hands on them. Just four. That's all we need. Okay. So, those laying your hands on them, you can pray in the Spirit quietly. Don't do anything to distract them. So as you're standing before the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm thirsty, and I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead and do that right now. Say it verbally to Him. Waiting before you, Lord. This is your work, not our work. Come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill each one of these who is asking you right now. Fill them right now, God. Now I'm going to come and I'm going to lay my hands on each one of you. And when I lay my hands on each one of you, I want to encourage you to just speak whatever is in your heart and mind to speak. The Lord is not going to speak in tongues. You speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill her with the power of your Spirit. Fill with the power of your Spirit, O God. Fill with the power of your Spirit. Father, fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit right now. Fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill. Fill. Thank you, Lord. Fill with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now. In Jesus' name, fill right now. His power is on you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. His power is over each one of you. Fill, 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 Lord. Fill, fill. In Jesus' name. We receive, Lord. We receive. We're not trying to perform or do anything. We just receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, here's what I want to do now. We're going to baptize a couple of people, and I want the ones who are being baptized to go now and get ready. One of them's right here, and the Holy Spirit's just touching her. But you can go ahead and get ready, and I'll be right back there. And then Jordan is going. And I'd like to encourage, now you can sing and lead. And I'd like to encourage these that are here to just continue to pray. And you ought to continue to pray for them, okay, for the next few minutes.
Thank you. So we're bringing two to follow the Lord in water baptism today. I just want to read a quick scripture. Romans chapter 6 says this: Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So what happens when we baptize people, it is a outward expression of what has already happened inside of people. But there is a spiritual power to it. It cuts off the old man and cuts off his domination over you, if I can put it that way. And the new man is free to walk. So we're going to first, and anyone that wants to video, feel free to come up on the front row. First, we're going to, I keep wanting to call you your sister's name. Jordan. I want to call him Reagan, but it's Jordan. His sister's name's Reagan. So Jordan Stacy has come, Jordan Alexander Stacy has come to give his heart to Jesus. Why do you want to be baptized today?
So I can follow Jesus through the rest of my days and my life.
That's awesome. So do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe he died for your sins?
Yes.
And you're going to follow him the rest of your life?
Yes.
That's awesome. It's good enough for him, so it's good enough for me, right? All right. So, grab your wrist. Jordan Alexander Stacy, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your commitment to follow him all the days of your life, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Justine Beebe. And I want to tell you about this young lady. I met her at the gym a number of months ago, and she started asking some questions. And yes, I've known very few people that are as hungry as this girl. I mean, she studies the Word and has friends across the country that she gets online and studies with, and it's just amazing. So, Justine, why do you want to get baptized today?
All right, it's a long story. I apologize in advance.
She's got a whole book.
It's not the whole book, I promise. It is a few pages, though. So I ask you all first for forgiveness because my testimony today is not short. That is because the Lord has always been with me, but I was too blind to see. As a child, I was christened. Received my first Holy Communion and went through confirmation as a Catholic child because my family is Italian and from Boston, of course. And I had doubts and unanswered questions at my confirmation in the eighth grade, probably because I had not read the Bible. From there, my family and I fell away from our faith, and I wandered in my own self-created wilderness for the next 20-odd years. Think Moses, not John the Baptist. I have dealt with a lot of tribulation over the years. I was guilty of premarital sex. I had an abusive ex-boyfriend named James. My family and friend Tara, who I'm still friends with and do Bible study with daily, convinced me to leave him, and I did. The Lord sent me a message at 22 years old to never look back, which I still have tattooed on my flesh, but I didn't listen to the Lord. I went back to my ex-boyfriend James, and he became my husband. Something inside me knew it wouldn't last forever because I didn't take his last name. We were homeless and lived in a car. First season, he abused me in every imaginable way. The Lord saved me from James's hands in December of 2007. The Lord prompted me to lock the guns that he owned in the trunk of his car, and when he went looking for them, I took the physical abuse until a neighbor called the cops. Justice was served on him by the state of California. During my marriage to James, I became an alcoholic to cope with my life I had with him. The Lord has saved me so many times when I couldn't do anything to help myself. I left James while he was in jail, and as Genesis 50:20 says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." The Lord used this situation, which caused me to flee to Massachusetts to live with family, to ultimately bring me to this moment today. I met my current husband and continued to sin and to drink. I repented of all of this, just in case you're wondering. Andrew, who is here today, my husband, is kind, loving, gentle, forgiving, and generous to those around us in our life. And we've been together for nearly 12 years now and have three wonderful, healthy, vibrant, and sometimes exhausting children. Andrew and I had two miscarriages. We were not yet married, and I grieved and continued to drink. When I finally admitted and received help for my drinking problem, I went to church with my friend Tara. That night, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You will have a child soon." I believed him and felt his peace. The Lord does not lie. I was pregnant about 2.5 months later with our first child, and at that time, my husband and I were married. I remained sober until last year when I relapsed. My grandmother had passed away the year before, and I felt the Lord calling me back to church. I went to the local Catholic church here and felt condemnation and shame, along with the side of that world-famous Catholic guilt that we all know about. So, I tried church, didn't like it. Surely I could read the Bible though, right? Starting January 1st of last year, I began to read God's holy word. Satan smacked me down hard and I relapsed. By the grace of God, my husband snapped me out of it quickly and I stopped drinking immediately. Later last year in the spring, Tara and I began to do Bible study together. The Lord worked through her to get me back into the word. I heard about this church here from a friend at the gym. And I looked up the church to watch a service, and to my surprise, I recognized the pastor's face because he also went to the same gym that I did. So I got the courage to approach him, and we scheduled an appointment. I met with Pastor Lane and asked a lot of questions. Sorry.
All right. I love it.
Pastor Lane saved me that day. The Lord has been pursuing me in a very powerful way, and I cannot thank the Lord enough, as my Bible study with Tara fell away. Due to illness now resolved by the healing of God, the Lord sent me an old friend, Melinda, to step in and keep me on my walk, all in the Lord's perfect timing. Melinda and I speak twice daily, do Bible study daily, work on Celebrate Recovery together, and pray for each other's family. And Tara is back in it as well, so all three of us support and challenge each other and stay on this walk together with God. The Lord delivered me from alcohol. As you say, Pastor Lane, I know that I know that I know that I know. Awesome. That I will not drink again. Praise the Lord. Father God, thank you for giving me the courage to give Danville, Kentucky a chance. Thank you for this opportunity to be drawn closer to you, Lord. Thank you for protecting me all these years. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from alcohol abuse. Thank you for calling me to this church, to this body of Christ. Even if I am the stinky armpit of it, I will take it, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Lane, for praying for me when I needed it by the prompting of the Lord. And Father God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Father God, please bless me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your perfect timing. You always know what's best, and it is time for me to have ears that listen, Lord, and eyes that see. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. That was awesome. That's awesome. Just one correction.
Oh.
Pastor Lane didn't say you. Jesus.
Yes, good point.
Yes, I know that's what you meant.
Yeah.
That's what you meant. Right. So, Justine, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes. Do you believe he rose from the dead?
Yes.
Are you going to follow him the rest of your life?
Yes.
All right. So, grab your wrist. Justine Beebe, because you have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and you believe he's the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the dead, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
out there and pick it up later. I don't know about you, but that was one of the most awesome testimonies I've heard in a long time. That was wonderful. Amen. Stand with us. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing and have done. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room, God, that we would keep pressing into you, God, and would not be satisfied with wherever we are, God, that we would always be thirsty for more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.